Matthew chapter 9. Hallelujah. This is a really, really good book. If you haven't got one, you should get one. Really good. So delicious. Shavarahata. Hey, the worship tonight was oh yummy. Yay, hooray. Let's give him a hand, hey? So thank you. It was absolutely magnificent. Thank you, God. And thank you, Richard, hey? I love that you know how to worship. I love it. And I love that you press in. And it's just beautiful. So good. Hooray. Great story in here. But before I get to this, I was talking a couple of weeks ago about heaven. Who was here when I was talking about heaven? Yeah. You know, the Bible says we're to pray, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you know, this is a big deal. It's a big thing that God wants to do. He wants to release heaven on earth. But you know, a lot of believers, we really don't, many people haven't got much understanding of what really goes on in heaven. Some people have a concept. I remember reading a Far Side comic. Welcome to heaven, here's your harp. Welcome to hell, here's your piano accordion. And I mean, it's a very wrong view of what heaven and hell's like. People think that you go to heaven and you float around on a cloud and play a harp. Or you go to heaven and you're sort of like some disembodied spirit that's in a nirvana-like bliss state. Not so. The Bible says that he came to give life and life more abundant. And you know, in heaven, the Bible's full of revelation of what goes on in heaven. Bible says that we're going to be judging angels. Yes. He says that we're going to have glorified bodies. Bodies that don't wear out, don't get tired. Bodies that aren't limited by any earthly restraint. It's very exciting. You remember Jesus? He could just walk through walls and he had fun with his glorified body. We're going to have a glorified, recognizable body. Yes. Hallelujah. Because people are recognizable in heaven. They're not just sort of floating spirits. We're recognizable with glorious bodies. Remember that the rich man was looking into heaven and he saw Lazarus, recognized him. He said, please just dip your finger in some water and touch my lips. Hell is a horrible place. It's not about piano accordions. It's really bad. Horrible place. But heaven is absolutely glorious. And there's a real life that goes on after death. And it's glorious. But that life in heaven is what we are actually born again into when we become new creations in Christ. We become citizens of heaven. We become seated in heavenly places with him. And so suddenly we begin to partake of the very life of Christ. And the book of Revelation says, in chapter 21, it says that there is no temple in heaven because the Lord and the Lamb are the temple. And they are the light in heaven. There's no need of a sun because the light, the Lord is the light. Hallelujah. And it radiates and it's glorious. And there's no darkness at all and everything is life. Every single thing in heaven is alive. It's all alive. Hallelujah. Pulsating with the life of Christ. There is nothing dead in heaven. Yes. Hallelujah. It's very lovely. Very wonderful. And in that glorious place, you know, sometimes we think that maybe we'll spend entirely all of our time on our faces, casting our crowns before the throne. Yes, we will be doing that. But yes, we will also be actively using, I believe, the creativity that God's put within us. It's going to be an exciting, glorious, rich, powerful life. We think sometimes that worship is only one way. There's only one way to worship. That's on your face, singing. That's fun. That is really lovely. I love being on my face singing. But worship is more than songs. Worship is to be an overflow of everything that we do. And in heaven, we're going to be doing more than just singing. We're going to be creating new songs. We're going to be, I believe, creating all sorts of things. And we will have unlimited understanding of everything. So anything you put your mind to discover, you'll be able to discover and you'll be able to comprehend. It's very exciting. Yes. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So it's a good place. Amen. You want to go there. But you know, the other thing about heaven is when you stand there before your Lord who loves you, there is not even a trace of fear in your heart. There is not the slightest skerrick of anxiety or condemnation or rejection or feeling of unworthiness. When you stand in heaven, covered by the blood of the Lamb, very simple, whether you were a murderer, a liar, a slanderer, whatever you were, if you said, yes, Lord, I believe that Jesus died and took away my sin and he's paid the price, and I just say, Lord, oh, I receive it. I need it. Take my sin. I receive your righteousness. You are clean before God. And when you stand in heaven, there is no fear in your heart that you are somehow rejected by God. In fact, there is the overwhelming sense of his love is such that you will stand with such confidence, knowing that you are welcome there. You're not just tolerated, you're actually celebrated and enjoyed. You know, all of heaven celebrated when you gave your life to Christ. And that is how you will feel when you are standing in the presence of God in heaven. Absolutely celebrated, loved, accepted, without any fear at all, whatsoever, no sense of rejection or insecurity at all. Totally confident. And that's what you can have all the time. Right here. Right now. That's really good. Just imagine what that feels like for a minute. If you're not quite there, just imagine what that feels like. Where you have no sense of not being good enough. Not a trace of feeling like maybe there's going to be a loophole and he's going to not like me. That maybe there was something that the blood didn't cover. No fear. Perfect love, casting out all fear, so you are at perfect peace. Absolutely loved. So when he looks at you, he doesn't go, oh, you make me cranky. He doesn't look at you and go, all right, let her in. He looks at you and says, you are the apple of my eye. You are altogether lovely. Look at her, she's beautiful. That's how the Lord looks at you. Yeah. And you know, I believe, ha ha ha, as the people of God come into that place where they are regularly just bathing in this atmosphere of heaven, yes, where he just loves me. He, you know, he says that he comes to restore your soul. Yes. Make you lie down in green pastures. He wants to restore your soul. Every day he wants to take all the knots, all the fears, all the anxieties. And he wants to straighten it all out and let you recognize again, you're lovely. You're just lovely. You're free. Do you know he set you free to be happy in his love? Free to be happy in his presence. Hallelujah. Emily and I have been singing all week. She laughs at me, my M. She's been up there doing the PowerPoint. I've been singing that Sunday school song all week long. I'm so happy, I'm so happy, I'm so happy, 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 happy. I'm so happy, I'm so happy, I'm so happy, happy, happy since my Savior set me free. And we get quite drunk. And it's wonderful. And then we find everything to rejoice about. Hallelujah. But you know what? God wants you to live happy. He does. He wants you to live in joy, perfect peace, absolutely loved and accepted and happy. Not based on what your circumstances are, but based on the fact that you are living in and are surrounded by and filled with the atmosphere of heaven, where the truth is you are free indeed. And you know what? The Bible says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, amen.
We are the temple of God.
Yes.
Let me put it another way. God is the temple in heaven, emanating this atmosphere that makes you go, oh, I feel so loved. And you are the temple of God on earth. So when people come close to you and you look at them and smile, God wants to release the atmosphere of heaven through you so that they are suddenly almost spiritually winded with the shock of, I feel so loved, so accepted. Have you ever gone up to hug somebody or say hello to somebody that is just full of Jesus? I went and said hello to Charles Stock when I saw him in Pasadena. I just bounced up to him and said, oh, it's so good to see you. And I was taken back with the Jesus on him. It was like, oh, I feel Christ. Just the love and the acceptance. You know, do you know what I mean? Have you ever encountered somebody like that? When you meet them, you feel, I feel heaven all around that person. Well, God doesn't even just want them to feel it. He wants them to experience it powerfully with miracles and signs and wonders. He wants them to be drawn to the brightness of your rising.
Yeah,
come on, this is better preaching than you're reacting. He says, arise, shine. We're going to read that in a minute. Ha, ha, ha. Actually, let's read it now because it's just good. Isaiah chapter 60. Look at this. I'm so happy. I'm so happy. Do you good? Arise. Shine, for your light has come. Doesn't say, go and give a little bit of love if you feel like you're up to it. You have to arise. What do you arise from? From lying down in green pastures and having your soul restored. Now, arise and shine. For your light has come. What is the light? The light of heaven. The atmosphere of heaven is upon you. It is in you. And he says, from within, shine. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you and his glory will be seen upon you. People will experience it. They'll recognize it. That's why Jesus was known as the friend of sinners, because they'd come into his presence and they'd think, I've never experienced love like that ever. I've never known acceptance like that. There is not even a trace of judgment in his eyes when he looks at me. I need to get close to him. Think of that woman, Mary Bethany, going to break the alabaster box over Jesus. She had encountered the atmosphere of heaven. And she came to the place where, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I know if I can get to him, He's going to look at me with those soft eyes that are happy to see me. And I am going to feel that peace, that joy, that absolute acceptance. And I want to give him everything I've got. I just want to be near him. That's why they flocked to him. Because they would talk and say, he doesn't judge you. He loves us. Hallelujah. He carried the atmosphere of heaven. And he tells us, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. But listen to this. Verse 3, the Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. They're going to come flocking in. As you begin to release the power of heaven, as you begin to release the atmosphere of heaven, as you begin to recognize, wake up from your slumber and recognize, my commission on this earth is to shine like a light bulb. My commission on this earth is to release the atmosphere of heaven. For your walking, exposed, glorious nuclear bomb everywhere I go, radiating the power and the glory of God so that people come into the very atmosphere surrounding you and they are impacted. Be it unto me, God. Shaka bahasa. Shandara bahasa. All right. Matthew. We are going to get there. Matthew chapter 9, Sharabasaka. You know, when you're carrying the atmosphere of heaven, people are going to want you to just be releasing. People are going to know. They're going to come to you and ask you to pray. Get ready. Get ready because the time is at hand. Hallelujah. Where they're going to be seeking you out. Gentiles are going to come to the brightness of your rising. They're going to find you and say, I know you carry heaven. Would you pray? Hooray. And you say, yes. Hallelujah. Such as I have, give I thee. Yay. Hooray. I'm so glad it's not just pastors because we would get very tired. How on earth could we commit for the commission of God to see the glory of the Lord cover the earth as the waters cover the sea if it was only the ones that stood up and spoke on Sundays? It's got to be the bride of Christ arising and shining. Yay. Oh, it's good. So my job gets to be to equip you to recognize what you already got. All right. Verse 18, while he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live. Yeah. How did they know? Because they were seeing it happen everywhere. They recognized he carried the atmosphere of heaven. He had within him life. That if he would lay his hands on her, I know she'll live. Yeah. So Jesus arose. Say, Jesus arose. What are you going to do? Christ. And followed him, and so did his disciples. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. Hallelujah. This little lady who had suffered for 12 years, spent everything she had trying to get an answer, a healing, and to no avail. And she knew, if I even just touch the hem of his garment as he walks away, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know that which he carries will heal me. I know that if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. And so she came out in a crowd where she was not even supposed to be. She was unclean. And women were not supposed to touch holy men when they were unclean. And here she was going to go and touch him because she was desperate and she knew he carried something. She knew that if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be healed. So she thought she could do it without anybody knowing. And she went in and she touched the hem of his garment. And as she touched him in faith, she was healed. And then Jesus spun around and said, "Who touched me?" You can read about it in Mark. And they go, "Look, everybody's touching you. They're pressing in on every side." He goes, "No, I felt power go out of me." Hey, that's a good feeling. Ooh, I like that feeling. Get used to it. It's very fun. And she came forward, and the Bible says she was trembling with fear. You know, she had had an encounter with God in that she had been healed, but she didn't know who he was. She didn't know his character. So she was afraid of him. She thought he was going to judge her. She thought he was going to be angry with her. But I love what he says to her. Everything stops. "Who touched me?" She comes trembling. Look what he says. "Be of good cheer." You know what he says to her? He says, "Be happy. Be happy." "Hey, who touched me?" "You. Be happy." "Your faith just made you well." Instead of saying, "You woman, you're not even supposed to be out here. Well, you know, get on your way, all right, you've been healed." He didn't do that. He released on her, he unloaded on her the atmosphere of heaven. that atmosphere that says you are absolutely accepted and you are worth stopping for and celebrating. Oh, come on, that's exciting. And that's what God says every day to you. You are worth stopping for and celebrating. Be happy. Be of good cheer. Sometimes we read these things and we don't understand. In heaven, there is just unending joy, exceeding and full of glory. Be happy. Be happy. I'm stopping everything. Lady dying over here. Everybody stop. Be happy. You've been healed. And then they come and they say, "Oh, it's too late. The girl's died." What does he say? "And the woman was made well from that hour. When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, he said to them, 'Make room, for the girl's not dead, but sleeping.'" He's supposed to be sad. According to earthly situations, it's like, "Oh, well, we're a bit late. She died." He says, "No, he's happy. She's not dead. She's sleeping." They start ridiculing him. And he just goes and releases heaven. Releases the life of heaven. She raises up from the dead. Hey, you know, the good thing about reading this book is he says everything that he did, he wants you to do and more. And that which you carry on the inside of you is the very pure life that is in heaven, is inside of you. That's really glorious. That's really glorious. Yeah. Hallelujah. I remember having an encounter with God one day. I asked him to show me heaven, and he did, because he loves me. And you know what I saw in heaven? I saw life. I looked inside myself. It was a strange thing. And I could see inside my lungs glistening light. And the Lord was speaking to me and saying, "I'm letting you see what life looks like. The life of heaven is glistening and it's full of glory." And you know, sometimes when I pray, I see that light going into people's bodies as they get healed. That is what we are releasing. We're not releasing a philosophy or a vain hope or sympathy or human love. We are releasing full. Ooh. What have you got? What have you got in your hands? You have within your hands more power than you've ever comprehended. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul prays. I want you to have a look at this. Sura kotoro basa. Lord, let us get it. Ephesians chapter 1. Start at verse 15. He says, therefore, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. This is what he prays, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He doesn't pray that you would have more power. He prays that you would have revelation of who he is. And he prays that you would have revelation knowledge, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. He prays that you would get it, that you would get the revelation of what you carry. If you will take time, I believe above all else, if you will take time to let him restore your soul, speak to you, tell you every day who you are to him and how much he loves you, fill you up to overflowing, he'll call to you every day and say, arise, shine, go and give that atmosphere of heaven. He wants to take you up. He wants to take you up every day. Did you look? We are citizens of heaven. He wants you to be very familiar with it. He doesn't ask you to release heaven without ever letting you see it. He wants you to experience it every single day. Richer and more glorious. He wants to reveal something new of himself and of his kingdom, of the heavenly glory. Tell you, I love my time with God. Oh, I so enjoy it. It's not a task or a chore. Used to be, I remember being 15 and reading about the hour of power, and I'd try and pray for an hour. And it was so hard. But I don't find it hard at all anymore, because now I recognize that my prayer time is simply being loved on. Just let him love on me. And the more he loves on me, the more I come into sync with his heartbeat. And then when I pray, I'm praying just working with him. And, oh, it's so fun. It's so fun. Anyway, that's a whole other message. I know God wants to release the atmosphere of heaven in you and me and here. And you know that corporately we come together and we'll have a glory gathering. It'll be very lovely. And brightness will be shining forth, and they will come and they'll bring the sick, they'll bring the lost, because they'll know that place is somewhere where the glory is, where the love of God is, where the acceptance of Christ is. They'll come into your workplace and find you to talk to you, because strangely they feel so at peace when they're near you. Strangely, they feel so loved when they're near you. What a joy. What a joy. You are free to be happy. Free to be absolutely, delightfully overwhelmed with the joy, the river of his pleasure. And you are called to release it on earth. Amen. Father, I thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the life of heaven, Lord, pulsating through us, oh God, living on the inside of us. God in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory, the very temple of God on the inside of us. Father, we're so grateful, Father. Lord, I'm asking for your people, to arise and shine. Let the nations see it. Let the kings of the earth see it and come, Lord God. Lord, let the people be drawn like magnets to your people. Oh God, I command in the name of Jesus, arise and shine. Holy Ghost, I thank you for the awakening, the last great awakening, Holy Spirit. I am so grateful. Thank you for it. Thank you for the awakening in this nation of Australia, Lord. Awaken, Australia. Wake up and see. Hallelujah. Arise and shine. For your light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Father, I thank you for your presence here. Tonight, I just want to ask if there's anybody here, you haven't encountered this love and this acceptance of Christ. You haven't found him as your friend, as your savior, as the one who loves you and accepts you and wants to bring you into his heart. And you say, I want to know God. I want to know Jesus. I want to know that. I want to be born again. I want to be forgiven and saved. Tonight, I just want you to raise your hand where you are, and I'm going to pray for you right now. Is anybody here that says that's me? So I want to pray for you tonight. Is anybody here tonight that says that's me? I want that. I need that. Hallelujah. If that's you, just raise your hand. Hallelujah.